thinking, this man insists on taking us through Old Testament scriptures. And the answer to that is yes, I do. Because I believe that the Old Testament is part of the Word of God, and all scripture is inspired by God, and it's all profitable for us. And so we're going to look at 2 Kings for several Sunday nights. Now let me put it to you in another way. Do you like stories? Why, sure you do. Everybody likes stories. One of the criticisms of my preaching, imagine this if you can, that there would be criticisms of my preaching. I tell you, people will stoop to anything these days. And one of the criticisms of my preaching is he doesn't tell enough stories to suit me. Well, we're going to remedy that in our studies of 2 Kings, because this is a book of stories. We've got stories in every chapter of 2 Kings. And if you like stories, you're going to like this book. Now, last Sunday night, I just introduced the book for you. I talked about some of the major themes. I should think every child of God would be interested in these themes. One thing the book of 2 Kings teaches us is to stay away from idols. You may say, is that a problem today? Yes, it is. The Apostle John over there in the New Testament, this is not just Old Testament, the Apostle John in the New Testament said to little children, stay away from idols. It was a problem then, problem today. And another thing 2 Kings teaches us is to pay close attention to the Word of God. We're going to have occasion tonight to notice that. And the third thing, the third major theme we looked at last Sunday night, there are other major themes as well, but the third major theme we discovered for the book of 2 Kings is the faithfulness of God. Now, that ought to light your fire even if your wood is wet. The faithfulness of God. God is faithful to His promises. God's not going to fail. It doesn't matter how wolfish the devil's wolves are, how sheepish the Lord's sheep are, God is going to keep His promises. He's not going to fail. You and I will and look back over life on this earth and say, well, God did pretty good. He kept 90% of His promises. That's pretty good. I'm pretty well pleased if I can achieve 90% of what I set out to do. My friends, God is going to keep 100% of His promises. He's never failed. And we have reason to rejoice here in this book of 2 Kings because it shows us God's faithfulness to His promises. We're going to notice that every chance we get. Now, another reason we ought to be interested in 2 Kings is because it tells us the story of the prophet Elisha. And next Sunday night, we're going to meet Elisha, the Lord willing. But we've got to finish up with Elijah, his predecessor, first. And chapter 1 tells us about Elijah the prophet and his ministry. And chapter 2 tells us about Elijah leaving the scene and Elisha coming on the scene. Now, I won't read this entire chapter to you. I want to just pick out some phrases. And the sermon will be based on the entire chapter. But look at verse 4. Now therefore, thus says the Lord. And if you're a Bible marker, you might want to just underscore that. This will kind of help you remember what this chapter is about. And if you're not a Bible marker, I'm going to give an invitation after a while, and I want you all to come forward and repent. You need to mark your Bible and be a student of the Word of God. Verse 4, now therefore, thus says the Lord. And look down there at verse 9 and just underscore these words. The king has said. The king has said. And there it is in verse 11. The king said. And then verse 17, underscore these words. So Ahaziah died according to the word of the Lord. Now, does that make any sense to you? Well, I should think that you'd see something of a pattern there. You've got the Lord speaking, and you've got the king. And whenever we are talking here, when he's talking about the king, he's not talking about the Lord now. He's talking about King Ahaziah. You've got King Ahaziah speaking, and you've got the Lord's word coming true, being fulfilled. So you've got God speaking, you've got man speaking, and guess whose word prevails? God's word prevails. Now, some of you are saying, what does this have to do with us? It's the very same situation today. We've got God speaking today. God is speaking, ladies and gentlemen. He speaks to us in and through His Word. But you've got man speaking as well today. Oh, my man, he's anxious to speak. And he doesn't hesitate when this Word goes out from the Scriptures to say, well, now, I don't see that. That doesn't seem right to me. Somehow that doesn't seem fair to me. And so man speaks. But listen, God's Word is always going to prevail. And that's the message of this first chapter of 2 Kings. And it's a very needed message indeed. Now, we begin to read this first chapter and we think, what a strange chapter indeed. King Ahaziah is on the throne of Israel. And he suffers a bad fall and is seriously injured. And we have here Elijah the prophet delivering a message from God to the king. And then we have two captains and their companies of 50 men each. Two captains, each captain had a company of 50. And these captains and their companies are consumed by fire from heaven. And then you have a third captain and a third company who are spared. And we look at these details and we say, what a strange chapter this is. And yet I tell you, my friends, packaged in all of these details here in chapter 1 is an issue of profound importance for us. And the issue that we're dealing with here is this matter of properly regarding the Word of God. Now I ask you tonight, how do you regard the Word of God? Do you have a proper regard for it? How do you regard what we're doing right now? You find yourself a little sleepy and getting ready to drift off? Yeah, if that's the case, it's telling me you don't have much regard for the Word of God. That's what this chapter is about. It's about how we regard the Word of God. Oh, I would to God that I had the eloquence to convey whatever is required here, the persuasive ability. I would to God that I could convey to the people of God and to those who are not yet the people of God what a treasure we have in the Word of God. It's not just poetic flourishes, poetic license that causes caused the psalmist David to talk about the Word of God as gold, silver, treasure, great riches. My friends, he wasn't there just indulging in poetic license. He was speaking the truth. The Word of God is more precious and valuable to us. This Word is more important than your bank account. Now, I know some of you would want to debate that with me. You probably got more money in the bank than I have. But it doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. This Word is more important than your bank account. This Word's more important than your property. And do you know why that's the case? It's because this Word gives you guidance for eternity, and your bank account's not going to help you one bit when this life is over. But this Word will still help you if you'll heed it. It'll prepare you for the life to come. How valuable is that? I think it's very valuable indeed. Now, I want to divide the sermon for you this evening into three parts. I want you to see the Word of God delivered, and then the Word of God defied, and finally, the Word of God demonstrated or vindicated, if you please. Now, let's think about the Word of God delivered. Here's this king, Ahaziah. And he takes a terrible fall, and he is seriously injured. Now, 2 Kings chapter 1 doesn't tell us too much about Ahaziah. We have to go back into the last chapter of 1 Kings to learn about him. By the way, 1 Kings and 2 Kings were originally one book. I would never start a book like 2 Kings as 2 Kings starts. But they were originally one book. They were divided for the sake of convenience. And the point of division is very unfortunate here. We have the story of Ahaziah beginning in 1 Kings, and this is a continuation of it. You look back at the closing verses of 1 Kings, and you find that this man was an idolater. His dad, Ahab, was king before him. And Ahab led the people of Israel into unprecedented idolatry. I mean, Ahab married Jezebel, and he and Jezebel together, he under her influence, took Israel into Baal worship in unprecedented fashion. They plunged the nation headlong off into incredible idolatry. And Ahaziah just carried that right along. He was an idolater of the worst sort. And he came to the throne, and he hadn't been on the throne very long until he began to have trouble. Moab rebelled against him, and he took this terrible fall. And someone would say, well, poor Ahaziah, he must have been born under an unlucky star or something. What rotten luck this man had. He had rebellion from Moab, and he took this terrible fall. What terrible coincidences we have here. And ladies and gentlemen, I will tell you, you should not hear me too quick to dismiss these as just coincidences. You shouldn't be too quick just to chalk this up to rotten luck. Man's coincidences are God's providences. And I'm suggesting to you that God here is getting the attention of this man. Now, it may be this evening that there's some calamity in your life. Could God be getting your attention? Now, I'm not one of these preachers who suggest that every time you have a headache, God's mad at you about something. I know some people who have this one-on-one equation. I've had this terrible thing happen in my life. God must be mad at me, and he's caused this to happen to me for some reason. Some of the things that happen to us in this life that are evil are just due to the fact that we're living in this world. And you don't walk through this world without getting hit. You don't walk unscathed through this sinful world. That's part and parcel of life in this world. But the other side of the story is that God can bring calamity, and he does bring calamity into our lives to get our attention. And my friends, this is what he did, I think, in the case of Ahaziah. Ahaziah took this fall. He was an idolater. He's having political troubles now as Moab rebels against him. And it is God striving with Ahaziah. It is God confronting Ahaziah. And how does Ahaziah respond to God's striving with him? Well, he responds, the Bible tells us, by sending to some messengers to the god down to Ekron, to the god Beelzebub. And he inquires, he's intending to inquire of the god Beelzebub about whether he's going to recover from this sickness. This sickness created by the fall. And it was while these messengers were on the way to Beelzebub to inquire about the future of the king that Elijah delivers a message to them from God, and they are in turn to deliver it to King Ahaziah. And you find the message right there in verse 4. It's so clearly stated. Here's what Elijah the prophet says. Now, therefore, thus says the Lord, you shall not come down from the bed to which you have gone up, but you shall surely die. That was the message that Ahaziah received from the prophet Elijah. You know, that's a gracious message. God was being gracious to Ahaziah at this point. Some of you will say, well, how could this be a gracious message from God? God was giving him here opportunity to come to his senses and to repent of his idolatry and to turn back to the living God. Just the announcement that this man was facing imminent death gave him the opportunity to say, I've been wrong, and I must turn around, and I must reorder my life, and I must prepare to meet God. God's been gracious to him. And so the message is clearly delivered. Ahaziah is told that he is doing a foolish thing by sending messengers down to Ekron, to the god Beelzebub. He's told that he himself is soon facing death. God is striving with this man. God is working with him. God is getting him here. God is calling him to repentance. Is God striving with you tonight? Has God put some difficulty in your life just to arrest your attention and say to you, look at the path you're walking here. Don't continue to walk this path. Stop and turn to me. God strives with men. Thank God that He does. If you're saved tonight, it's because God in grace stooped down to you somewhere at some point in your life to strive with you. And you're saved tonight because God took notice of you. God took notice of you. Little you. In this vast world, God took notice of you and He stooped down to strive with you and to call you to Himself. Aren't you glad God just didn't let you go on your way without striving with you, child of God? Aren't you glad He stooped down to struggle with you, to grapple with you, and to say, turn to me. While you have time and opportunity. God's being awfully good to Ahaziah here. That's the word of God delivered. God gave Ahaziah a clear message. Now, the second part of the sermon is the word of God defied. The word of God defied. And as we look here at this first chapter of 2 Kings, we see Ahaziah sending out these captains and their companies. He did not like Elijah's message at all. And so he sends these messengers, these captains and their companies out to say to Elijah, the king has said, he's pitting his word against the word of God. Elijah spoke the word of God. God has said, Ahaziah, that you are going to die. You must prepare to meet him. And the king, instead of saying, oh dear, what should I do? I must turn to God here. The king sent these captains and their companies out to say, well, this is what I say. He's pitting his word against the word of God. Oh, if there was ever anyone who had reason to believe the word of God, it was Ahaziah. Read the story of his father, Ahab. Ahab had close dealings with this man, Elijah. I mean, he and Elijah butted heads constantly. And every time Ahab and Elijah had a confrontation in which Elijah delivered the word of God, that word came true in Ahab's life. You remember that time back there in chapter 17 of 1 Kings when Elijah stormed into the court one day, the king's court, to say that there's not going to be any rain until I, the man of God, say so. And there wasn't any rain. And by the time Elijah said so, people were dying, livestock was dying. Ahab was out searching for just a smidgen of water to save his mules and his livestock. The word of God won out in Ahab's life. You remember that time when Ahab stole Naboth's vineyard? And when he was down there to take possession of it, Elijah confronted him there in the vineyard. And Elijah said to him, you're going to die because of this, and the dogs that lick Naboth's blood are going to lick your blood. That word came true. Ahaziah knew all about it. He knew the story. He saw the word of God fulfilled time and time again in his dad's life. He had more reason than anybody perhaps who's ever lived to believe the word of God as it came from the prophet Elijah. But here you see him in his hardness of heart and his blindness of mind, receiving a word from God himself through the prophet Elijah, and instead of saying, I'm not going to repeat the mistake of my dad, I'm going to listen to this word. No, he rebels against it, and he defies it. Now, some other thing that happened here, Pastor. These two captains and their companies are consumed with fire from heaven. And I will tell you, my friends, that these captains and their companies were consumed with fire from heaven because they sided with Ahaziah in his rebellion against the word of God. And they come to Elijah and they said, Man of God, the king has said. Now, don't be too impressed with them saying, Man of God. That can be used as a term of ridicule, and I think that's how they used it. And they were essentially saying to Elijah, We don't care what you have said. You better listen to what the king has said. They pitted their word against the word of God. And listen, God chose this judgment to fall on these men as an example to all of us down through the centuries to be very, very aware of judgment to come. In other words, I'm telling you, God has, down through the centuries, God has sent temporal judgments such as we have here in order to warn us about eternal judgment. And that leads me to say this. If you follow along in the footsteps of Ahaziah and these captains and their companies in rebelling against the word of God, you are inviting eternal judgment, the Bible says. Now, some of you will say, well, you don't mean to tell me, Pastor, that you expect modern-day sophisticated Americans to believe in eternal judgment? And I tell you, my friends, if you're wise, you will. If you're wise. Now, some will perhaps say, well, now, this business about eternal judgment, just give me the loving message of Jesus. Okay, let's talk about the loving message of Jesus. It was Jesus who said, Don't fear him who kills the body, but fear him who is able to cast both soul and body into hell. Jesus said that. And he spoke of hell as a place of unquenchable fire, where the worm dies not, the fire is not quenched. It's Jesus who spoke of fire and brimstone, weeping and wailing, gnashing of teeth. Jesus spoke like that. Someone will say, why should we believe in Jesus? Well, my friends, I think for one reason, because he arose from the grave and proved in doing so that he was obviously no ordinary man and that he had unusual authority. That would seem to give him unusual authority, don't you think? The fact that he arose from the grave. Better listen to this man, Jesus. No ordinary man. Oh, my friends, this passage speaks to us tonight. There's a message that has gone out from God. This message that has gone out from God says that we're not just mere animals, we're not just mere creatures, that we were made by God and we were made for God. And this message tells us that God is holy. And this message tells us that God expects us to be holy. This message tells us that heaven is a perfect place. This message tells us that if we are to inhabit heaven, we must be as holy as God is. It's a frightening message. Thank God, that's not all there is to this message. God has told us that we can never by ourselves, by our own efforts, meet his standard. God demands 100% perfection of us to get into heaven, and we don't have 100% perfection. All we have are our sins. But thank God, there is good news. We call it the gospel. And that's what gospel is. It's good news. Now here's good news. God himself did everything necessary for our sins to be forgiven. He sent the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus took our humanity, and in that humanity, he lived that perfect life that God requires. And in that humanity, he died there on Calvary's cross, taking the penalty that our sins deserve. And now the word goes out that if we will come and in repentance of our sins, acknowledging our sins, being broken over our sins, and cast ourselves upon the Lord Jesus Christ and his redeeming work, that God will count his righteousness, that righteous, perfect life that he lived, as if it were ours. And God will has punished our sins in Jesus. So he gets our sins and we get his righteousness. It's good news. And there are those who hear that message and they get into the Ahaziah mode. They say, well, I don't like that very much. They resent it. They resist it. They ridicule it. They say, well, man's not a sinner. And if he is a sinner, it's not all that important, is it? And if he did need salvation, the idea of a Jewish rabbi dying on a cross 2,000 years ago outside the city of Jerusalem and by that death providing eternal salvation, the whole thought is ludicrous. That's what men say. God has spoken. God has said, this is my message to you. It's a message about your sin. It's a message about my son. It's a message about eternal life through my son. God has spoken. But man is speaking today. And man is saying, well, I don't much care for that. And you and I tonight must decide whether we're going to join with Ahaziah and his captains and resist the message, or whether we're going to join with this third captain. Now, this third captain was spared. You know why he was spared? Because he did not come in resistance and rebellion against the message of God, but he came pleading for mercy. And he said, oh, man of God, let my life and the lives of these men who are with me be precious in your sight. Now, there's the choice before each and every one of us tonight. This message has gone out from God. A message has gone out from men opposing the message of God. And you and I must decide whether we're going to join Ahaziah and those first two captains and say, well, I don't like the message of God. I hate it. I resent it. I resist it. I defy it. We must decide whether we're going to join those men or whether we're going to join this third captain and say, oh, God, have mercy on me. There's a story in the New Testament about a publican and a Pharisee who went up to the temple to pray. A publican now, not a republican, just a publican. The Pharisee congratulated himself on all that he'd done. But the publican prayed like this. Oh God, be merciful to me. The sinner. The sinner. He thought of himself as the greatest sinner who ever lived. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to receive the salvation that God has provided, you must quit fighting against the truth of God's word. And you must quit fighting against the idea of eternal judgment. You must quit fighting against the idea of God demanding perfect righteousness. And you must say from your heart, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And if you'll take your place alongside this third captain, you'll find this, that God is merciful to sinners. He forgives them of their sins and gives them eternal life.
And now I can wrap this up very quickly. I told you I had three parts. The Word of God delivered, the Word of God defied. We just looked at that. Now I want you to see the Word of God demonstrated, vindicated, if you please. Look at verse 17. When that third captain came and pleaded for mercy, God told Elijah to go with him. And when Elijah got to King Ahaziah, he delivered the very same message. Now get this. Ahaziah had rebelled against the message of God, but he had not succeeded in changing it. It still stood. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you tonight? You can resist this message. You can rebel against it. But you can't change it. You can't change it. And after you are through rebelling and resisting and defying, this message that God has delivered in His Word will still stand. Still stand. And so verse 17 says, so Ahaziah died according to the Word of the Lord. God's Word is going to prevail. The question is not, will God's Word win out? The question is, will you and I side with the Word of God, or will we stand against it? May God help you to side with the Word of God. Let's pray together.